gossip. The F1 Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Greek Gossip 211, season 2, episode 11.
Oh my god, we're recording it on 7-Eleven. Did you get your free Slurpee today?
No, I didn't even leave the house today. I forgot about
that,
though.
Well, it's free Slurpee day, which will not help anyone listening to this, because it will not be coming out on 7-Eleven.
No. I feel like the last time I did get the free Slurpee, it was a few years ago. And the machine was just so, it was just a disaster because it had such heavy use that day. Yeah.
I used to be so into Slurpees. Holy cow.
Can't handle the amount of sugar in those now, but you know, I'm also 39 next week. So,
wow.
I know.
39.
I know.
It's old.
It's not as old as 40 is going to be or feel, but it's getting up there. When I go to 7-Eleven, just to beat that to a pulp, my go-to now, because Carter will dig a Slurpee, right? My go-to is the 2 for 99 cents bag of sunflower seeds and a bag of Sour Patch Kids. Usually I'm pretty happy with that.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've stepped inside a 7-Eleven.
They just built a new one by our house. It's actually really nice, and it's got this really nice coffee machine, even though I don't drink coffee that much. Sometimes I'll go there and sneak like a mocha or something like that to feel mature.
All the 7-Elevens in Texas are like gas stations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've stepped inside a 7-Eleven.
It's really funny. So when we were coming back from Outer Banks, we left, you know, about 7 in the morning early, right? Just wanted to get home. And we always stop at this Wawa that's like at just the right spot on the way there. Mm-hmm. And it's early on the way back because we usually need to fill up the tank. And so we get off of the Wawa. It's probably 8:15 a.m. Yeah. Your sister comes back from the Wawa while I'm filling up the tank with a hoagie, full hoagie, and crushes a full Wawa hoagie for breakfast. And I was like, if that's not Philadelphia, I don't know what it is. I tried to Instagram it, but I was driving and didn't want to lose life out there for the gram. So, but anyways, what have you been up to? Awesome. That sounds exciting.
I was trying to think of what I did this weekend. I ate dinner at 4 p.m. on Friday. Brian was golfing. Luna had a vet appointment. And I was like, oh, I really want this pizza. It's like a New Jersey deli pizza place.
Okay.
And I was like, I really want a slice and half a Italian sub. Mm. And her vet appointment was right near it. And I was like, and it was like 4 o'clock. And I was like, I just don't feel like going home and then going back out. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to go eat dinner now. So I had dinner at 4 p.m. Then I followed it up with a 5 p.m. nap.
And I'm old.
Saturday night, we went out to dinner and I went out. Like, we went out to bars and stuff. So that was fun. And then finished some TV shows.
Yeah.
Just chilled.
Yeah. The New Jersey sub pizza place. What's better, the hoagie or the pizza?
Honestly, it's hard because it is like a New York slice of pizza. So it's like thin crust, nothing too fancy. But their gourmet, their subs are really, they're sleepers. They're so good. It's real good. When you want like just like no fuss Italian.
Yeah. That's like our Italian store. You've been there down the street.
Yeah.
Although I think their subs are better than their pizza. The pizza's really good. But anyways, our weekend was low key. We had it rained on Saturday. So Carter was supposed to have like, he's in this like baseball camp where they have a game every Saturday and practice every Tuesday. And then he's got Nats camp this week. So he's supposed to have a game Saturday, got rained out. We chilled. It was a rain day. And then on Sunday they made up the game. And so he had that in swimming. So our weekend went by really quickly. It was real low key. It was kind of our first weekend at home since all this travel. So not much to report on there.
Yeah. Well, 3 days of Formula One too. So
exactly. And exactly. So, I know we talked about this earlier in the year, but I do like that Friday action sprint weekend. It actually is pretty sweet.
Yeah. I was unable to watch it live on Friday, but I wore my Ferrari jacket in my meetings. And yep, it was very loud.
Roasted, I heard. Were you getting roasted?
A little bit. Yeah. but it's okay. It was worth it. It's clearly giving some luck. So I will continue to wear it, even if it's 110 degrees.
You might as well, because if they end up pulling this out some way, I mean, what a story. Like, you just have to live in that thing.
Yeah. I mean, works for me. It's comfortable. It's actually not that heavy either, so it's not too hot.
Well, I'm happy you like it. I got your birthday present. I guess I should just put that out there. So I you sent it. It shipped early, so I just opened it immediately.
Yeah.
I think we posted on the gram, but it's a very well-made hoodie. Mm. Not like a Hanes hoodie. It's feels great. And it's like the same yellow as Lewis's car and helmet. And it's just got this really clean, it's like a little rectangular small patch that says just, you know, Mercedes AMG F Formula One team. It's got black drawstrings. Everything else is yellow, except for the patch and the drawstrings. And then on the back, it's got the 44, Lewis's 44, just like his car. Nice. So I love it. Simple, clean.
I was so worried last week when we were talking about it, and you were like, I don't know how I feel about the yellow. And I was like, oh my God, I got him the most yellow item from the list. It was like not the t-shirt, not the hat, but like the full on hoodie sweatshirt. And I was like, this may not go down well.
No, I loved it. I said the yellow hat. So the yellow hat is a bit loud on this dome, but the hoodie was perfect. Perfect. So
great. Is it soft?
Very soft. I mean, I'll let you know how it goes after its first wash, but usually like I'm weird. Like once I get something new, like I won't wash it for like 6 months. I'll just keep wearing it and wearing it and wearing it unless I spill something on it to really break
it
in. What
if it were the armpit smell?
I don't care.
Oh, because Brian sweats so much. He wears something for 30 minutes and he's like, gotta wash it.
I can get the same way from time to time. But it was, I wore it around the house that day. It was very nice. So thank you for that.
Nice. You're welcome.
So let's just jump into it, I guess. We had a qualifying on Friday morning. Do you want to take us through that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw first off in Q1 was lots of deleted laps, which was a lot of foreshadowing
to
the actual race day, the track limits. The Ferraris did really well in Q1. Ricky was out. Both Aston Martin's out. Joe out. Latifi out. But of Ricky, course. Man, I mean, he's out for, like, he's going to be out of Formula One, let alone Q1.
Yeah, it's not looking great. It's not looking great.
They're testing another driver this week in Portugal. Today, actually, someone said. They're testing Colton Herta in Portugal today and tomorrow.
Per the regulations, though, I think they have to use, like, rookie drivers a certain amount each team this year, so I wouldn't read too much into it, but yes, Ricky not being able to get out of Q1, I would read very much into that.
Yeah. And then Q2, something was up with Norris's car. Kept saying he was scared to hit the brakes.
He was freaking out.
Yeah. He was like, he was shitting his pants in the car itself. And we had our first bit of Yuki rage for the season. He was not mad at anybody. He was mad at himself, but we hadn't seen that. We haven't seen that yet this season.
It was very rookie season, Yuki. The funny thing is, like, a lot of times when he like spazzes out on his radio, like, I don't even understand what he says. I'm like, he sounds mad. I can't understand what
he's just
saying.
Like, ah!
He talks so fast. Yeah, it's just pure rage.
But Gasly, Albon, Bottas, Yuki, Lando out. Q3, Shoemaker made it through. Look at him. He's doing so well. That little boost of confidence in the points last week. But then Lewis crashed. And
that was
the
unreal.
Start of the end for Mercedes. I mean, it looked like the car had a mind of its own.
It was unreal. And I literally, when he crashed, I just sat there with my hands on my head with my mouth open. I don't think I've ever seen that in my fandom, and I'm pretty sure you go back over his career, it probably hasn't happened more than a few times for him to crash in qualifying. So that was a shocker, and I was feeling kind of bad, and then I felt less bad when Russell a lap later also put it in the wall.
Oh my God. Yeah, so it was a red flag. They all went back in. They were saying the back of his car didn't have enough grip. They thought he was on course for P2. So the race restarts. Next lap, George crashes. Pretty much the same issue as Lewis, but George.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to do my little sad walk. I'm not going to take a ride. Crosses the track to get back to the garages without permission, which Vettel was fined for.
Yeah.
Moron. The reason it's a rule is because they don't want them to die crossing the track and another car coming. Because
you could get hit by a car. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. Yeah, that was shocking. The damage didn't seem overkill for George, so you figured he'd be okay. But yeah, it was definitely a unique moment. Mercs having their car just ripped to pieces in qualifying. I think Toto said it. It looked the garage looked like someone just broke a Lego set pieces everywhere.
So Q3 ended with Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, Perez. But shortly after qualifying, we find out that Perez's time in Q2 was deleted for track limits. So he dropped from 4th to 13th, which Red Bull was pissed about, rightfully so. I mean, you let him continue on, and then he has to drop all the way down to 13th.
Yeah, I didn't even pick that up because I saw him start 13th and I was like, oh, I guess he qualified terribly. I was like, I don't recall that, but
no,
I didn't even notice that
fourth.
Until I saw your notes. Yeah, I just blanked on it. But yeah, I was wondering why he was back in the pack. So that's a bummer. He had a shit week altogether. I'm sure we'll get to that in a second.
He did well in the sprint, but...
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's probably what I was thinking, the sprint. Yeah, that's true. So,
but going into Saturday, sprint race started with Alonso's car not starting while they lined up. They had an electrical problem and he DNS'd, not DNF'd, because he actually never started. So he went immediately back to the garage. He was able to get back to the garage before the formation lap, but then at the end of the formation lap, Joe, his engine stopped and they had to do another formation lap. So our sprint race was one less lap than initially planned. And Joe had to start from the pit lane. It was a little juicy in the beginning. Max got ahead really well off the pole. And then Carlos got ahead of Charles. Carlos was pressuring Max. Charles got back ahead. There was some contact between Lewis and Pierre on turn one. It was very similar to the Joe crash last week where Lewis was sandwiched between Gasly and Albon, both of who were involved in the crashes last week, although separate ones. There was a lot of battling between Leclerc and Sainz. They were making me very nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah, those first few laps, I definitely thought we were going to have a little Leclerc-Vettel action from a few years
back. Well, this is also the track where they had that action.
So very tight. Very tight. Which is, like, I think for the sprint race, like, I mean, I never mind when teammates battle ever. But for sake of what Ferrari's trying to get done, which is, you know, be competitive in the constructors and make sure that Leclerc still has a chance to win the driver's championship, their team strategy, it's just so lacking. But I enjoyed watching it. So,
yeah.
And it only cost them a point. Like, sprint race, only a point difference between first and second. So yeah. I didn't mind it.
Our messy driver of the year, I think, is now slowly becoming Alex Albon. He got a penalty for forcing Lando off the track. And he's just been like messy and inconsistent. It reminds me why he got kicked off Red Bull.
Yeah, I feel like he probably didn't feel like he had a lot to prove this week. But I mean, after last week's debacle, in qualifying at least against Latifi with the upgraded package, I could see him pushing. But yeah, you're right. I think he scored a point this week, but he's trying to get as much as he can out of that Williams car. And I think, like, for me, when I see Albon, like, yes, he's inconsistent and granted he doesn't have as much experience, I think, in F1 as Russell does, but like it shows you the difference between Russell's skill and like Albon, for example. Like, granted the car is different this year, but they both drove for Williams. And he's just not
Yeah.
He's not consistent. But he's safe because his boy is going to lose his job. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he forced Lando off the track. And then later on lap 11, he forced Vettel off the track into the gravel. However, he was able to kind of recover, get back on the track. Sergio did his thing, obviously. He was up to number five by the time he got to lap 12. Classic Sergio. And then Vettel's car finally gave out on the last lap. Too much damage after a run through the gravel. And then what was also exciting to see was the battle between Hamilton and Schumacher again.
Schu was giving him some business for a while. Yeah, no, he was giving Hamilton the business. Now, granted, he also was using K-Mag's DRS, the DRS on K-Mag, too. But, you know, hey, I mean, ever since, what was the crash three races ago, where it was just like, dude, Mick, like, may lose his seat if he keeps crashing.
I think getting the points last weekend gave him a little bit of a boost, confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Haas was competitive.
In the beginning of the season, Magnussen was doing real well, and then they kind of like faded into the background, but they're doing well again.
So, yeah, it was a good sprint race. I mean, there's some good action there. All right, so we get to Sunday, and this was a good race. I thought it was a good race.
And for the record,
it wasn't as good as Silverstone.
No, it wasn't, but it was still a good follow. After you have a race like Silverstone, the next one is usually always such a bore. But I will say, I wore my Mack shirt and my Ferrari jacket, because I am still a loyal Max fan. So I wore both.
Try that shit out at the racetrack. See how that works.
I love all my boys.
Try that at the racetrack.
The start was pretty clean. Nothing really happened on turn one or lap one. Perez spun into the gravel on lap two and had to immediately pit for new tires. Collision with Russell. And Russell had a 5-second penalty as a result.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on that? Like, I watched the onboards. You saw it coming, like, as they, turn two, three, whatever, down that straight. Like, you just, like, these guys are going to connect. I can understand the 5-second penalty, although I thought it was more a racing incident. And it's also, like, why is Perez taking that risk right then? Like, you can pass the Mercs this year. It seemed like an unnecessary risk for him, so he paid the price, which was a bummer. Although, when he pit and went to last, I actually expected him to end up in the top five still.
I was like, okay, not that big of a deal. He'll still get to at least 10th place and get some sort of points.
Did he take damage?
I think it was, I think there was damage, and he wasn't able to.
Yeah, because when he came back out, his lap times were not making an impact.
I think they decided it was just like not worth it. And this is the point where I was like, okay, there is a lot of track limit warnings. And one of the things was only at lap 13, I thought that.
It was happening so much that I went back and watched Russell's onboard the whole race this morning just while I was walking. And they were giving him updates of his track limits early. And they kept saying, like, you have zero track limits. Yeah, and he was asking. And they were giving updates on, like, hey, several drivers already have two, right? It was crazy. I've never heard that over the radio.
Found the number of times there was a...
In the race?
Let's see what this statistic is for the race. Okay, how many during the race?
The race, I'll say there were 32 track limits. Higher. I'm going to say that. I feel comfortable with 30 plus. Really? Over 40? Yep. No.
43.
Are you serious? 43. So they average more than two per driver.
That's and insane. 5-second penalties went to four drivers, Vettel, Gasly, Norris, and Joe, because they exceeded three breaches each.
Black and white flag. Yeah. At least they were consistent. It was very strict, but they were consistent across everyone. Yeah. It was pretty wild to see people get 5 seconds, which affected the points for some people.
So I think Gasly in total got 2 5-second penalties because he got the track limits and then he pushed Vettel in the gravel. Poor Vettel was really loving that gravel this weekend and he got another penalty for that. And then about, I don't know, 10, 15 laps after or before the race is over, you see Sainz car just not moving.
Bo's moving.
Well, he was able to move his power unit, kind of went out. He was able to kind of pull over. It was right at a turn. So he kind of pulled over into the corner and his car lit on fire. And so he's trying to like get the car to stop because he's kind of up a hill. The car is becoming more and more engulfed in flames and he's trying to get out. But the car is moving and no one is coming over to extinguish the car.
So let's dive into this because I actually had multiple conversations with friends about this because this was really kind of, you know, the big ticket item of the race, right? He's in second place. He's going down the same straight right before where Russell and Perez, you know, bumped into each other early in the race. And you get the black cloud of smoke, you know, right away, power unit. His radio was like...
It was like, no. He was so... It was heart-wrenching.
But not surprising, which makes it more heart-wrenching, right? Because this has happened to him all the time. So here's the thing, right? So I had one friend say, well, he should have put in the gravel pit. Well, at that point, when he's going up the road, he knows his race is over. The car's not on fire. He just lost his power unit. So he stops halfway up the hill. If you go back and look, first and foremost, there's two marshals right there, both with fire extinguishers. Only one of them comes out. One literally just stood there. I kid you not, he did not move the entire time. Like, I think that's exactly what happens. Like, holy shit, this is game time. And he was not mentally prepared. So everyone's like, well, why didn't they put the fire? Why didn't that marshal put the fire out sooner? Totally agree. He should have been out there quicker. Two things you need to know. First and foremost, why was the car rolling backwards? F1 cars do not have a park gear. So people need to understand that. The car is, when it's parked, it's either because someone's pressing the brake, the car is off, or the car is on and it's on those little skates they put them on when they raise it up off the ground and they change the tires, which was not the case here. So as Sainz is holding the brake and the car starts to engulf with flames, and he realizes, which means you have to get out of the car, otherwise you'll die. He has to let go of the brake. And as he's letting go of the brake, because it's on a hill, the car's rolling backwards. Now, the issue is you need one of those little, I don't even know what you call them, the tire blocks, whatever he put there. Stopper, right? For some reason, they don't have stoppers like right there. The guy had to run back to the little shed there to get the stopper when the car was black smoking. Then he came out. He had trouble getting it under because he's trying to put it under a moving car, which, you know, he doesn't want to lose a hand. So that's why it took so long.
Yeah,
it was brutal. And then, of course, naturally, you're like, is Leclerc going to make it to the finish line?
Right, so now you're holding your breath. They pitted a third time, so there's a lot of pits. And then, you know, the race goes on, and Charles is like, there's something wrong with the gas pedal. And you're like, oh, God, he's not going to make it.
Oh, God.
And then the race engineers are like, it's fine. And he's like, and so you're like, okay, like, maybe he just like, you know, maybe it's fine. And then he's like, it's not fine. And so I think how they were describing it was like, basically, it wouldn't like let up. So he would like try to slow down by pulling his foot off the gas pedal, but the pedal itself wouldn't lift up. So he would have to put his foot under the pedal and lift it up. And I was like, there's no way he's making it to the end of this freaking race, let alone in first place.
Yeah. So you nailed it. So the pedal, was the accelerator pedal. You did. Yeah. It wasn't coming back to zero. They would say it's stuck at like 20%, so think about it though. And this is how talented these guys are. He's late in the race, all this pressure, Max behind him, blah, 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 all that stuff. He's driving the car, pressing the gas, letting his foot off the gas into a brake, having to put his right foot underneath the accelerator and pulling it back up so it's not accelerating. Meanwhile, with his left foot, he's also using the brake. Oh, and by the way, he's also steering and using the paddle shifters. Like holy shit, it's unbelievable. And I also think that's probably not allowed.
So the one thing that was super interesting from the Dax Shepard, Daniel Ricciardo podcast was Daniel spoke about all the buttons on the steering wheel. And he's like, you are touching those buttons and changing the configuration of the car like every 5 seconds. So like that is a lot of coordination to do. So then to have to pull the pedal up and down. I mean, I was floored he made it. but he did, and he won that race. And Lewis got third, so I was happy for Lewis. I'm happy for Lewis when he does when he's like an underdog and like gets to third.
Yeah, he's also been humbled this year, right? So you're not getting that same kind of snooty, you know, I win every race. But yeah, it was good to see Charles win the race. You know, like I said last week, I would love to see him. I think I said I'd love to see Sergio win two or three. But even Sergio or Leclerc, if they can win two out of the next three, so they won one, keep it close. I don't know. I got
to
look at the point
difference.
I was
just about to do that. Oh, my God. We're on the same page. Grid Gossip F1. And see if it loads.
GGF1. Although that signs DNF, that hurt.
So Sergio was in second going into Austria, but now Charles is back in second. So Charles has 170, Max has 208, Sergio 151, Carlos 133. Carlos needs to do shit because George is at 128.
Russell's about to get serious. Yeah. So 30, what was that? 38 points. I mean, that's very doable. If he can win the next two races, let's say, which is not a layup by any means, that's another, I think, 7 points, assuming he doesn't get past the lap 14. So, you know, he's in range. It's a good race. It was, I was expecting a dud. I really was. After Silverstone, I was like, oh, we're going to get a dud. Like, there's just, and it was entertaining. There's good action early, good action late, a lot of pit stops, which is always exciting. And, I don't hate it. So all in all, good weeks. So moving forward,
we have a break this weekend,
a breather. Okay.
And then we have France and Hungary before the summer break. So these three people flew private home from the Australian Grand Prix. Lewis, Toto, and Valtteri.
I think there was someone else on there too. I think it was like Ricardo or someone was on there.
No, just the three of them.
Oh, really?
It was, I mean, Lewis's dog. I mean, Angela's there.
Angela's on there.
Valtteri's girlfriend.
Should Russell be worried? Is he going to get
replaced? I don't know. I was like, wait, they're friends enough with Valtteri?
Oh, dude, they're super tired of Valtteri. Did they say where they were going?
I'm sure that they were just flying back to like Britain. The wife's there. There always are these like funny private jet mashups. And I'm wondering if like, is there like a group text where like, yeah, I got a PJ this weekend. You want to come on board?
It probably goes exactly just like that.
I know.
Super casual, not a big deal.
But
it looks a little tight,
Russell,
though.
I imagine Russell seeing that TikTok and be like, wait, I didn't get invited. I'm on commercial.
That's an OG Merc PJ situation. Merck's starting to pump out a lot of Roscoe Cam content, and I'm
really
into
on what
it. I've seen them on Instagram, but I've seen a few on Twitter. They just slap that GoPro on a Roscoe and just let him run around all week, and they just like he's in the cafeteria. Cute. It's like this.
I wasn't
this dog
following
is just got
him, but now I am.
Yeah, that's a must follow. So
dogs just in general live the life.
They do.
Luna's
they
been do. Sleeping for 22 hours today.
You may want to see if she's still alive.
She is.
So we have a week off, so we'll take the breather. Then we're in France and then Hungary. And I think that gets us to, what, the end of July? And then we're at the summer break. So halfway through the season and two to go before summer break. And then we get some driver rumors starting usually around that time. Check us out on Grid Gossip F1 on the gram. Check out the website. And we'll see you guys on the flip.